One of the highlights of the Seder night, even though it gets a little bit overlooked sometimes, is the bringing out of the charoses. One of the items on the Seder plate. No one really knows what to do with the charoset once it's there, but it's there, sitting there on the table. And the Rambam writes that you're supposed to take your matzah and dip it into the charoset. It's one of the customs of the night. Many of us don't hold this way, but the Rambam's opinion is that you take the matzah and you dip it in the charoset. And the Ravid on the Rambam in Hilchos Chametz Matzah Perek Ches Halacha Ches, it's very easy to remember, 8 days of Pesach, for those of the people in Chutz Laaretz. The Ravid says, Zehevel, this is nothing. This opinion that you take the matzah and you stick it into the charoset, it's nothing. He doesn't explain why. What's the problem with this custom? It sounds very nice. Take the matzah and dip it in. And the Achronim point out that the question is actually a pretty deep question. And that is that the charoset represents the mud, the items used to go ahead and build the pyramids or build whatever they were building over there, the bricks in Mitzrayim. It represents the subjugation, the shibud, the difficulties, the torturous life that we had over there. Matzah represents geula, freedom. The Jewish people, they ran out of Mitzrayim and didn't have time to bake the bread. It turned into matzah. So, what is this? You're taking the matzah, which represents freedom, and you're dipping it into the mud, which represents the shibud, the subjugation. They're opposites. And therefore, the Ravid says this custom that the Rambam brings down is incorrect. And the question is, what's the answer? What's the answer for the Rambam? And the Sefer HaAderet gives the following very fascinating answer. He says, there's another machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravid in Hilchos Tshuva. Over there, the Rambam asks a famous philosophical question. He wonders, at the bris bein habasarim, the covenant of the parts, Hashem tells Avram that his descendants are going to go into a land that's not theirs, and they're going to be afflicted in that land. So the Rambam asks, if anyway this is predetermined, that the Jewish people are going to go down to Egypt, so then why were the Egyptians, why was Paro so badly punished? They didn't do anything. They carried out the will of God. God already said beforehand that the Jews have to go down to a place and they're going to be afflicted. So comes along the Egyptians and said, oh, we're going to do it. We want to fulfill the word of God. So why are they punished? So the Rambam answers that it's true that someone had to subjugate the Jewish people. Someone had to afflict the Jewish people. But Hashem never said who it had to be. And therefore the Mitzrim had the option not to be that person. Not to be that nation. It could have come from a different area. It could have come from a different direction. And therefore, whoever at the end of the day would have done it, since they weren't obligated to do it, they weren't commanded to do it, therefore they would be punished. That's the opinion of the Rambam. The Ravid disagrees. The Ravid says that the reason the Egyptians were punished was because they were never commanded to subjugate the Jewish people on such a grand level. They had to afflict them, but to make it avodas parech, to make it such difficult, back-breaking labor, that was already way and above what was decreed by God. And it was because of that extra work that they put on the Jewish people that the Egyptians were punished. And the question is, why didn't the Rambam go with that answer? That's such a good answer. The Rambam's answer already touches on a very deep philosophical question. When something's supposed to happen, you're the one who does it, do you get punished or not? Here's a very simple answer. God said, V'inu otam, afflict them. It didn't mean that you can't give them a break and you have to work them and work them like slaves to no end. It doesn't say that anywhere. Come along the Egyptians and they were extra stringent. They were going ahead and they added on a lot more than they had to do. So they should be punished for that. That's a very simple answer. Why didn't the Rambam go with that answer? Explains the Adaret something very interesting. He says that in fact, that extra labor, that hard work, that difficulty, was good for the Jewish people. Because really, the Jewish people were supposed to be in an Aretz Shelo Lahem, the land that wasn't theirs for 400 years. But we know that they came out after 210 years. Why? What happened? God said 400, now 210, changed his mind. What happened? So some Rishonim explain that it was since the Egyptians added on to the work, they made it so much difficult, they almost doubled the amount of work we were supposed to get. We fulfilled 400 years of work in 210 years. So therefore, that hard work, that difficulty, the difficult state of mind, the difficult environment, at the end of the day, was to our benefit. And therefore, the Rambam didn't want to give the answer of the Ravid. Because it was to our benefit that we had the extra, once we had to be down there already, it was better for us to have extra work so that we could leave earlier. And therefore, he explains, that's why the Rambam was of the opinion that you could take that matzah, which represents the redemption, the good, the positive, and dip it into the charoset, which we thought represented the negative, the tit, the mud, the mortar, the bricks. And we asked, the Ravid asked, isn't that opposites? One's the work and one's the freedom? And the answer is no. Because that work, that bricks, those bricks that we weren't given anymore, we had to do on our own, was actually for our benefit. It was good for us. It helped the redemption. It worked together with the redemption, and therefore, the matzah, which represents redemption, could go inside the charoset, which helped facilitate our redemption. And in fact, the Vilna Gaon has a very, very beautiful idea. Earlier in Sefer Shmos, the very beginning of Parsha Shmos, the pasuk says, "Vayimaru es chayehem b'avodah kasha," that the Egyptians made our life maror, bitter. And the notes, the cantillation, the trap on top of the words "Vayimaru es chayehem" is a kadma ve'azla. "Vayimaru es chayehem." The words "kadma ve'azla" means kadam, early, azla, to go. Explains the Vilna Gaon that the trap over here is highlighting what allowed the Jewish people to get up early and leave early and go early. It was because Vayimaru es chayehem, was because their lives became more difficult. Because of the Sheba, because of the intensifying of the workload, that's why we were able to leave early. And the Vilna Gaon in his commentary on Masechas Brachos and Daf Chav points this out in the Pesukim already in this week's Parsha. It's a dialogue that begins at the end of last week's Parsha. In Parakeh, the beginning of Parakeh, Moshe had an idea that, you know, maybe we should go out and party, and suggested it to Paro. Maybe he could let us go out and have a holiday. That's Pasuk Aleph of Parakeh. And Paro said, "What? Forget it. Not only am I not going to send you out, but what am I going to do? Add on the burden. Give more to you. We're not going to give you the tevin anymore to make the bricks like we used to. You have to make them. Don't give them anything less. They're weak, and that's why they're saying that we want to go ahead and worship." So Moshe wanted a break. Paro intensified the work. And what happened? Pasuk of Beis. Moshe comes along and goes back to Hashem. Vayashav Moshe al Hashem. Vayomar. Hashem, lamari osalam azeh. Well, why are you making it so bad for the Jewish people? What do they do? Lamazeh shalachtani, why are you sending me to... You made a mess. Hashem, you made a mess. What did you do? And how does this week's parsha start off? Vayidaber Elokim el Moshe, Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem, the beginning of Perek Vav, Perek Vav Pasuk Aleph. Hashem says to Moshe, Ani Hashem, I'm God. Rashi says that this is a response to Moshe's taina, to Hashem. Hashem, why are you making it so bad for us? Hashem now is responding. So why is there a difference of a perek? That was chapter 5. This is the beginning of chapter 6. It's really the same story. So Yaakov Kivetsky points out that this is one of the proofs that the prakim were not set by the Jewish people that actually understood what was flying in the text. If you look at Rashi, Rashi writes that Perek Vav Pasuk Aleph 6:1 is really a continuation from the Pasuk right before. That the Pasuk right before, Moshe is complaining and Hashem is telling him, I'm going to make a whole thing go on, I'm going to destroy the Mitzrim. Vayomer Elokim El Moshe, Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem. That's the continuation from the Pasuk before. But what's he saying? What's God saying? Explains the Vilna Gaon something very unbelievable. Vayomer Elokim. Elokim is the name of God that represents judgment. Vayomer Elokim El Moshe. Vayomer Elav, he said to him, Ani Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's the name of God that represents Rachamim, pity, mercy, care, love. What's this pasuk saying? Says the Vilna Gaon, you're complaining to me. Lama Hariyosa, why are you making it so bad for the Jewish people? That's what you're asking? You're saying that it looks like Elokim, it looks like judgment, that I'm making it rough for you? Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem. It's all Midas Harachamim. It's all mercy. I'm helping you out. I'm making it worse. You're no longer given the straw, the tevin. You have to do it on your own. You make it even worse. You're complaining? This is for the betterment of the Jewish people. This is good for you because of this, you're going to leave early. That's what Hashem was explaining to Moshe. Ani Hashem. Sometimes it looks like Elokim, but at the end of the day, it's really Hashem. It's Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's Midas HaRachamim. We say Shema Yisrael. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That we see sometimes Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei. Looks like Midas HaRachamim. Looks like Hashem is compassionate on us. He's having mercy for us. Things are good. Sometimes it's Elokim. It looks like judgment. But at the end of the day, Hashem Echad. It's all Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's all one. It's all Midas HaRachamim. Everything that Hashem is doing for us, at the end of the day, is all good. We have to recognize that throughout our lives, things are difficult. We all have trouble. We all have hard times. Now, I like to tell a story. I'll tell the shortened version right now. But many years ago, around 14, 15 years ago, I was living in Ramat Eshkol, and someone bought the apartment that I was living in. We were renting the apartment, and they bought the apartment, and the lease, my rental lease, was up in June. So the person that bought the apartment said, you got to get out. I said, well, you know, when do you plan on moving in? Oh, September, October. I said, great, do me a favor. My wife's expecting. She's due August time. And, you know, it would be very helpful for me to be able to just stay here. And then after my wife gives birth, we'll move, we'll find another apartment. Because we did find another apartment, which the lease started in September. So we had these 2 months when my wife was supposed to give birth. And we were homeless. And we had another baby in the house. And you know, just the thought of being homeless, that itself is bad. The homeless, when you have to give birth, that's even worse. So I asked the person, and the person said, no, we can't because we have to do renovations. So starting June 2nd, you get out, we're knocking down the walls and we're doing this. We need to do that so we can move in September, October. I'm like, please, I beg you. What am I supposed to do? I'm homeless for 2 months. What am I going to do? It wouldn't budge. Okay, now this is, for some people, this is a permission for serious depression. Okay? I can't remember what I felt then, but it definitely wasn't good. It wasn't one of the highlights of our lives in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, Baruch Hashem, it was a savior, even though it was very difficult. My grandmother, Olive Shalom, had an apartment in Rehavia, and she said, you know, you could go live there for 2 months. Now, that's not easy. You don't have your friends, you don't have your support system, you're giving birth to a baby in a community that you're not so familiar with, so that's not exactly the best thing, but at least we're not sleeping on the street. That was the only shining silver light over there in the middle of the whole story. So we moved there. We got robbed while we were there. Okay, no, we don't have to get into all the details. But we weren't homeless and we had a place to live. But again, this was really bad. This is difficult. A little baby, a wife giving birth, all our stuff had to go into a storage, all things. I mean, I could have just stayed in the apartment that I was in. Please, just let me stay. No. Okay. So then, while I was there, I met a young rabbi named Rabbi Wolf, who convinced me against my will to try to give a shiur once a week in the neighborhood. I told him no, it was impossible, but he said, look, you're here anyway, you have nothing to lose, you might as well just teach. Now, very long story short, we don't have the time right now, but because of that shiur that I gave then, someone else who gave a shiur in that same program once a week at night asked me if I could take over his shiur in a place called Eshet Torah. I never heard of that place in my life. I got lost coming here. I'll never leave out the details of that story as well. But one thing led to the next, and that's why I'm standing here today. Meaning, if I wasn't going to be homeless, and I wasn't thrown by God to a different community at a difficult time in my life to go ahead and be there, so then the seed wouldn't have been planted for me to be able to be zocheh to learn Torah with you. So at a time when I thought that my life was literally falling apart. Nothing. I don't have a house. I have to pull my stuff in storage. I don't know how I'm going to move back with a little newborn baby. How am I going to do this whole thing? Helpless. No help. No one around to help you. Didn't have my family. Nothing. What am I going to do? Hashem was planting the seed for the rest of my life. Now, some of us are zochet to see it in our lifetime. Some of us aren't. But we all go through points of our lives which are super challenging, and we could turn around and we could say, I think it's all over. I don't want to continue. There's no reason to push myself anymore. Yes, I believe in it, but forget it. I put enough effort in. Let's give up. We feel it. And many people then go ahead and say, I'm out. But we have to realize that this is what was going on between Moshe and Hashem. Moshe said to Hashem, what is going on here? God, it's getting horrible in here. We can't take it anymore. They're not even giving us the teven. And Hashem says, Vayidaber Elokim el Moshe. The Elokim spoke to Hashem. And Rashi said he spoke harshly to him. You're coming to me saying, why am I making it so bad? The Elokim, the Midas Hadin, the judgment. Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem. It's all Midas HaRachamim. You just don't see it right now. You don't have those glasses on. Don't give up. It's all being set up for you for the redemption to come 190 years sooner. That was the end of the story. So we have to take that into consideration throughout our lives. Whenever we hit that bump, whenever we think that this is the end or this is too difficult, I can't do it, why is this happening to me, it didn't happen to the other person, don't give up. We have to have strong emunah that this is all for the good. Hashem is setting certain things in place for the geula, for our personal redemption to occur. And some of us will be zochet to see that, and some of us won't right away, but we have to believe that this is true. And when we go in with that mindset, nothing is ever going to be able to stop you. Nothing. Because the second you see that something's not so good, you'll realize, Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem. It is good. We can't see it right now, but it's good, and it's for our benefit, and we're going to be able to be successful because of it. And we should all be zochah. This is a hard mindset to establish. I work on it all the time. But it's something that we all have to try to remind ourselves constantly, because some of us have this daily. We have troubles. Daily we have difficulties. Daily we have hardships. And if we always remind ourselves, no, but it's for the good. So we'll all be zochah to be able to push through that and be successful and hit our greatest potential. Shavua Tov.